Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. I have been training for a little over 3 months now for my next race. My next race, Ironman Brazil. I have done an Ironman in Brazil before. This is a different one, different location. All excited and training harder than I have in many, many years. Have the time, kids are older, and although I've done many in the past decade, those were to finish, to be in shape, to have a goal, not to necessarily go fast. This one, for the first time in a long time, I was putting in the time and the effort to really go fast, even at my advanced age of 51, and actually it would be 52 on race day. And yes, as you may be guessing by my leading kind of intro, it was canceled. It was canceled. I received an email a couple days ago. And of course, not surprising as I record this, yes, still at the, well, I was going to say the tail end of the pandemic, but who knows? Let's hope. Almost a year in. And so, of course, when I signed up, that was an obvious worry, concern, and I was willing to risk it. But that doesn't mean I'm not angry, and that doesn't mean that I'm not going through a bunch of feelings, and that's what this show is about, dealing with obstacles. Dealing with obstacles. I'm going to use that to get the conversation started, and then I'm going to get into it because that is a huge part of what I talk about here on Fitness Disrupted and what I have done for decades. Back when I was working, you know, with clients one-on-one as a trainer back in the day, group fitness, obstacles. So that's what we're going to talk about because that is a huge part of what prevents people from achieving their goals. But do they have to? And how do we deal with them? You know, I often talk about how I study several things and continue to this day when it comes to what I do. It's the exercise science, of course. It's the nutrition. And it's the motivation, the behavioral side. And that is what today's show is about. It's about the motivation, the behavioral side, how we deal with setbacks, obstacles. And I'm going to talk about the great line by Mike Tyson. Why don't we end the intro with that? If you haven't heard it yet, so good. And supposedly I looked it up because I've heard this line for a long time and I kind of wondered, you know, which event, what he was talking about specifically. And according to the quick research I did, Mike Tyson was supposedly asked by a reporter whether he was worried about a fight with Evander Holyfield and Evander Holyfield's fight plan, to which Mike Tyson answered, "Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." Obstacles. All right? We all experience them. We will all continue to experience them. So what do we do about them? When we come back from the break, 4 points that I use, 4 techniques to get over, around, through obstacles. We'll be right back. So we have to define obstacle first and foremost, right? Merriam-Webster defines an obstacle as something that impedes progress or achievement. Something that impedes progress or achievement, something that gets in our way, right? Now, I just want to delineate the difference between obstacles and excuses. And yes, that's tough love, but it's necessary in this business, as I talk about frequently here on the show. I can tell you what you want to hear, and many fitness people, nutritionists do. They tell you what you want to hear, because that makes them money, makes you feel good, and doesn't get you the results. And when it comes to health and wellness, it's literally affecting your life, your health. Not okay. So there are obstacles and there are excuses. What's an excuse? Well, the number one, time, that you don't have time. Did a whole show on time. And if COVID has taught us anything, it's not about time. Because people had time now that they're home to get in the workouts. Yeah, you couldn't go to the gym. That's another excuse. These are all excuses. At the end of the day, they're excuses. All the yeah buts are gone. Yeah, but I don't have time. Yeah, you do. You just got to make it a priority. Because you don't have to do an hour. You don't have to do a half hour. You don't have to go to the gym. Body weight, exercises, walking, so many different ways, breaking it up throughout the day. My most recent book, The Micro Workout Plan, gives you all the research into how and why you can and should break it up throughout the day. So excuses like genetics, well, you know, why bother? It's all about my genetics. I can't do anything about it. Not true. Science says not true. Can make incredible changes. Yes, we all have different genetics. But that does not mean you can't make incredible achievements and achieve incredible things when it comes to your health and your wellness. So I'm defining, for the purposes of this show, obstacles as something that gets in your way, something that impedes progress or achievement of your existing plan. Okay? You're already working towards something. And then you have an obstacle. Something happens. As I said in the intro, I was training for Ironman Brazil. Boom, got canceled. Not a huge surprise, but disappointing. So an obstacle for this show is about something that gets in your way of a plan. And that may be a race. That may be your weight loss goals. That may be so many different things. And not even limited to fitness, but obviously that's what we're talking about here. But it carries through to everything. Carries through to everything. And here's one thing I love about endurance racing and that I've learned, not just the physical, the mental. So those of you listening who have done Ironman races know what I'm talking about, and it's a great lesson and talking point for everybody. When you do an Ironman race, it's basically a year of experiences condensed down into a single day, in my opinion, an experience. In other words, it's not a matter of if, but when things will go wrong, when those obstacles are thrown in your face. As Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. I actually used that. I used to coach a cancer charity, the MMRF, for a decade. And I would give a speech, a little, you know, athlete kind of, you know, get them all excited for the race the night before, motivational speech. And one year I used that. I used the line. I said, how many of you have a plan for tomorrow? Raise your hand. Everyone did. And I said, yeah, here's Mike Tyson's line. I said, things are going to go wrong. And that is actually the beauty of it. As crazy as that sounds, everyone has a plan. Everyone had worked hard for that Ironman race. Many were first timers, which was another reason I was giving that kind of tough love Mike Tyson speech. Because things were going to go wrong. It was not a matter of if. And some people were going to get jabbed in the face. Some people were going to get uppercuts. Some people were going to get knockout punches. And all the cliches are true. You get back up. You get back up. And that is one of my favorite parts, and there's so many, of doing those type of races, is the day after. The day after, everyone has a story. Everyone has a war story. And I'm actually going to do something I've never done on this show, but I wrote a little article that I'm going to finish this show with. Wrote it a couple years ago, but it kind of brings it all together and talks about what I'm talking about right now. But everyone has a story. Everyone had things go wrong. And some people got knocked out. In racing, that's called a DNF, did not finish. And many of those people could have. Some couldn't. Some have issues that totally prevent them, medical, mechanical, physical. But oftentimes, the DNF is avoidable. It's avoidable. And so the article I'm going to talk about, read to you, short, real short little article, is called, let me scroll here, Embrace the Excuse or Choose the Challenge. Embrace the excuse or choose the challenge. The choice is yours. But obstacles are inevitable. And as I record this, as I said earlier, pandemic is still going on. But that's a great talking point in that we are all going through that pandemic. Just like everyone goes through the same conditions in an event like an Ironman or a marathon or any type of event race for that matter. Everyone experiences what? The same weather conditions, the same course, hills. You know, does it rain? Is it hot? So sure, you can complain about that stuff and it's challenging, but everyone on that course is going through the same thing, experiencing the same thing. Then the individual obstacles are thrown in your way. You get a flat tire. You know, in the swim, you get your goggles kicked off. You get punched in the face. You crash your bike. Those are all individual. And they're inevitable. They're inevitable. And yes, even with the pandemic, people are experiencing it at different levels. Some people have lost their jobs. So even though it's being experienced by everyone, of course, there are different levels of challenges along the way. And if I sound like a Pollyanna, I 100% am. I am one of the most optimistic, positive people you will ever meet. And I did a little research on this too, because I, even though I've been using that term and have been called that for forever, I didn't know where it came from. And so you know what? Let me take 2 seconds, because I bet most of you, many of you don't either. And I'm going to read you just a couple paragraphs where it comes from, because it's totally connected into what I'm talking about here today and your approach to your fitness and to life. Okay, this is directly from an article in Psychology Today, and I quote, and actually, let me preface this by saying, Pollyanna, pretty much an American term, and has a negative connotation to it, that it's unrealistic. One of the definitions, or, you know, as I was doing the research on just where it came from, the derivation said, a Pollyanna is a blindly or foolishly optimistic person. Blindly or foolishly. And as I read that, I was like, really? Really? So again, here's from Psychology Today, and I quote, Pollyanna was not unrealistic or overly optimistic about anything. She was a little girl with a very poor but very wise father who recognized the duality of everything in life and taught her to play a game based on this idea. Pollyanna's game was known as the Glad Game. One day, Pollyanna's father, who was a church missionary supported by donations from the Ladies' Aid Society, received a long-awaited donation box for his family. Pollyanna, who had very few toys, had been wishing with all her might for a doll, but the only thing for her to play with was a broken pair of crutches. When Pollyanna started to cry, her father promised her that if she stopped crying, he would teach her to play a game that would bring her more happiness than any doll ever could. He taught her that in every situation, no matter how bad it might seem, you could always find something to be glad about if you looked hard enough. Pollyanna and her father played that game every day, looking as hard as they could to find the thing they could be glad about in every situation. The more difficult the situation, the more fun and challenging it was for them. After a while, the game became automatic to Pollyanna. She often didn't even realize she was playing it. She had just trained herself to see the silver lining, or what she could be grateful for, in every situation. Pollyanna began to teach the game to everyone she met, and life-altering transformations started to occur for all who played. While the story of Pollyanna was originally published in 1913 by Eleanor Porter, it wasn't until almost 100 years later when the field of positive psychology began to seriously study gratitude on the effects of emotional well-being. Since then, a large body of research has come together showing that those who engage in the regular exercise of gratitude experience a multitude of benefits, including improved sleep, greater happiness and less depression, better social relationships, and a greater overall life satisfaction. Amazing. Can't believe I didn't know that story till now. And I love it. And this is how I have approached my racing and life for decades now. And that's why, yes, I bring up these races, because it was through those races, through that chosen suffering, as I call it, that I learned this, the gratitude. I've talked about when I've been on the course of an Ironman feeling bad, you know, Ironman Malaysia, things went wrong. It's 104 degrees, 99% humidity. I'm feeling bad about myself. And then you see someone in a wheelchair on the sidelines and that gratitude comes out. I'm so grateful to be in an amazing location, doing what I love, and I'm healthy enough to do so. Gratitude. And so let me get to my four ways to deal with these obstacles. Real basic, real simple, as most of my advice is. Stuff you can use right away. So this is just my four personal. This doesn't come from any study. You know, yes, based in psychology, but this is just four ways when I have something thrown in my way. And I have to say that, you know, Ironman Brazil being canceled, first world problem. First world problem. But an obstacle nonetheless. Okay, so first and foremost, may surprise you, be angry. Allow yourself to be angry. Even someone like me, who's, again, as optimistic, as positive, as Pollyanna-ish as can be, I'm going to get angry. And that's okay. That's natural. That's human. It's how long you allow it to happen and what happens next that is the most important part. But be angry. And you know what? You can complain to people. My wife, I could complain to her. She doesn't care. She doesn't care because she knows where I'm going next. But you can complain. Make yourself feel better. Be human. Give yourself permission to be angry. And here's the fun thing. You then, number two, you got to give yourself some time off. What do I mean by that? And there's two kind of time frames that I'm going to give you that will clarify. So when I got that email that Ironman Brazil had been, and you know what, as I say this for the fifth time, canceled, it got moved to November. That's canceled for me. That's just another, you know, that's canceled for all intents and purposes. So number two is give yourself time off. Give yourself time off. So when I got that email, I had been, again, exercising, working out, dieting down 20 pounds, muscle and some body fat, and trying to get to race weight. Well, guess what? For the next couple days, I ate everything in sight and I didn't exercise. And I mentally knew as soon as I made that shift, I said, you know what? I'm busting my butt for 3 months. I'm going to take a couple days. I'm going to take 3 days and have some fun. And at the end of those 3 days, which was a day or two ago, I slowly got back on the wagon. And right before I did this podcast, I went for an amazing outdoor run, hill workout. If you want to hear about hill workouts, listen to that podcast I have. But I gave myself time. I'd worked really hard. And falling off the wagon is not only okay, it's necessary. Be angry. Take some time off and then get back to it. And here's the problem. Here's the natural tendency. And I've talked about this and done podcasts about this as well. It's like when you get on a diet plan and you have something bad for breakfast and then you throw the whole day away. That's not what I'm talking about here. And then you throw the whole week away, and then you never get back on because you are guilty about taking time off. So just because you had a bad, you know, meal, snack, indulgence, doesn't mean you throw everything away. And that may be the day, and it's a little different context, but you understand my point. So taking 3 days off after I had worked really hard for 3 months, I needed that. I needed to be angry, and I needed to, you know, have an entire pint of Ben and Jerry's. But I've done this long enough to know that I was getting back on the wagon. And then I needed to be angry and depressed, and even though, you know, odds were it was going to get canceled. So here's one little addendum, though. You also give your time off in a very short amount of time sometimes. What do I mean by that? So during a race, back to the race analogies, first 50-mile run I did, the JFK 50-miler, through the woods, Appalachian Trail for the first 25 miles or so, 20 miles. So one of my weaknesses are my ankles. Uneven terrain, I'm falling. I fell so many times. And one or two times, hard. And, you know, really twisted the ankle. So in that situation, same thing I'm talking about, just condensed way down. So in other words, got really angry for a short amount of time. And I gave myself time off to walk it off, walk just long enough to get back, to get my head back, my mental state back. And then I continued on. So I give you those two examples because they are extremely important. You're going to have these really short periods of time where you go through these four techniques, these four steps. And then you're going to have the longer. Sometimes it's 3 days off. Sometimes it's 30 seconds. You get that obstacle thrown in your way. I was not going to DNF and it hurt. But I've learned over time, even though it hurt, I knew that I could finish most likely. And that if I kept moving, I would feel better over time. And that is a lesson learned that is so powerful that no matter how you feel in the moment, no matter how bad you think things are, 10 seconds later, 10 minutes later, a couple hours later, you keep moving forward, you not only can, most often will feel better than you did before that obstacle was thrown in your way. All right. Final break. When we come back, final 2 points. First two, be angry. Number two, give yourself time off. And when we come back, final 2 points. We'll be right back. Talking about obstacles, every single person listening is dealing with, will deal with obstacles on a regular basis, small and large, you know, and you can get through them all. And these four steps that I use, you can use immediately for success. Number three, reframe it. So now you're getting out of the negative. Give yourself time to be negative. Give yourself time to be angry. Give yourself time to be lazy, whether that's 3 days or 30 seconds, as I said. And then you reframe it back to the gratitude part, looking at the positive side. So when I received that email, race is moved again, which is canceled for me. I said, okay, let me look at the positive. I've spent 3 months getting in really good shape again, losing some body fat. I fixed some weak links, was working on my shoulder with the swimming and, you know, leg exercises. So I looked at all the positive of the training. And by the way, I've had people, you know, over the years, when the goal was to break a 3-hour marathon or break a 10-hour Ironman, and I didn't achieve it right away, and I kept going back, and I had people say, why do you keep going back? Why do you keep doing Ironmans and marathons? I thought, that is like the craziest question ever to me, but I'll answer it. And I need about 3 hours. But the short of it is, I'm getting in great. I'm doing great things for my health. It's the journey. The event itself, that's just the game day. But the true happiness and success is in the journey, in the training. And sure, it could be challenging, of course, the training, but that's part of it. And so you got to reframe, got to look at the positive. You know, as I described at the beginning, an obstacle for this show's purposes, definition, is something that impedes progress or achievement to something you are working on, a plan. So first and foremost, be proud that you set out to achieve something, to put together a plan. Many people do not. Many people do not. And let me just throw in a couple more positive reframing elements that I used. My kids saw me training for an event, working hard towards something. It never lost on me. If you're a parent, you are, and we are, role models for our kids. You want them to eat healthy? Well, start with yourself. You want them to exercise? Start with yourself. Be that role model. You want them to be happy people? Model that for them. And finally, listen, I invested in some new equipment. And, you know, you go, oh, well, I've got that equipment now. And truth be told, I'm really cheap when it comes to money I spend on myself. When it comes to equipment, I've had, four bikes total in 26 Ironman races, and none of them were super expensive. So these races forced me to buy things that I probably should have purchased a long time ago, but I'm cheap with myself. So just yet another way to frame it, reframe it. It's so important. Be angry and then reframe it. You don't have to be, no one is a Pollyanna right away. It's just not human nature. But the more you put yourself out there, the more you challenge yourself, the shorter those first two points are. The less angry you are for a shorter amount of time and the less time you take off. You know, many of you probably heard me say 3 days and thought, that's probably short. Maybe some of you thought long, but I would think that for the vast majority of people, 3 days doesn't seem like a long time. Most people take months off when an obstacle gets in their way of their exercise and nutrition plan. So the more you do it, the more you learn, the shorter those first two steps are. But you still need them. You still need them. You know, the good thing was when I fell in the woods during that 50-mile race, you know, dropped a bunch of F-bombs, but there was no one around me to hear them at the time. If you swear in the woods and no one's around, did you swear? But I needed to be angry, and it made me feel better. And, you know, gave myself a couple seconds, minutes to walk it off. Reframe. Look at all the positives. And I can't stress enough that the first major positive is that you set out to achieve that goal in the first place. Because so often, the fear of the obstacle is the obstacle itself. What do I mean by that? The more time you invest, the more money you invest in a plan, in a goal, that scares people away because they say, what if? What if it gets canceled? What if I don't have the, you know, outcome that I expect. And you can't worry about that. You can't worry about that. Topic for another show. But if you listen to my podcast on my Grand Canyon experience, when I did the rim to rim to rim, ran across and back, the night before, I sat up in my dingy hotel room and went over like 30 things that I was worried about going wrong. And 30, you know, issues that I had with what I was about to do and lack of, you know, just 30 issues. And not one of them happened. So the fear of the obstacle being the obstacle, that is the issue for so many people. They go, I don't want to invest the time and the money if things could possibly not turn out the way I want them to. Well, there will always be the obstacles. When you put in the effort, because that's what this is about, effort. there will always be a payoff. There will always be a payoff. And as I said earlier, the payoff quite often is the process itself. The end goal becomes so much less important. Even though the vast majority of the times you're gonna complete that end goal. It may change. Again, it may take a little longer. But you can't have the fear of the obstacle be the obstacle itself. All right. Final one. Number four. Refocus. Refocus. After my three-day eating binge with no exercise, I got right back on the computer to find my next event. What am I going to do next? And by the way, I ran across the Grand Canyon and back with a friend because there were no events. Control what we can. But the world is opening up a little bit. And long story short, found a marathon. Found a marathon about 2 months away down in Florida. And new goal, requalify for Boston. So refocus. Be angry. Give yourself time. Look at the positives. Reframe it. And then refocus. Find that next goal. And I have ridden this fitness. I call it that all the time. And now at 51, riding the fitness just means training for life. So in other words, I've been training hard for 3 months. So now I'm going to just shift it a little bit. I'm still going to swim, bike, and run, but I'm going to run a lot more in the next couple weeks, couple months, with a different goal in mind. So yeah, you can feel bad about yourself. Yeah, you can feel bad about your situation. But you kind of keep moving forward and find that new goal. All right, you know what? Let me finish up. Again, a little different for me to read something I have written, but why not? Because I think you'll appreciate it. Perfect way to kind of bring everything together. I've already given the title, Embrace the Excuse or Choose the Challenge. So here's how we're just going to end the show. Okay, quick, short, little blog post of sorts. All right, so here you go. I was running on the treadmill recently when I slipped off during a fast interval. One leg became wedged behind the belt and it tore up the front of my sockless ankle pretty good before I could regain my balance and get off. Yes, it hurt a lot. Yes, I could have quit and ended the workout, but I knew that it wasn't so bad that finishing the workout would have made it worse. So I got back on and I completed the session. What I have learned from competing in endurance events is not if, but when something will go wrong. I have crashed my bike hard in an Ironman race in Australia. I've fallen at least a dozen times in the woods during my 50-mile JFK Ultra Run, competed in three typhoons, and bonked countless times during races all over the world, to name just a few of my mishaps and misfortunes. Yet, regardless of what has happened, I learned to get up and keep moving forward. There was the Ironman China when I swam open-mouthed into an enormous red jellyfish, not once, but three times. It stung my face like crazy and made my tongue swell up to twice its size. Yes, I learned you can scream and cry underwater and still swim 2.4 miles. I was feeling particularly sorry for myself until I saw another athlete on the course with the same bright red tentacle marks crisscrossing his face, still racing hard. I often meet people who have competed in events who will tell me how they were on track to achieve their goals when something went wrong. It started raining. They drank too much sports drink. It was unseasonably hot. What makes an event like Ironman so powerful is that everyone on the course, from the professionals to the very last finisher, is that we are all suffering together. And in addition to the difficulty of simply completing the 140.6 mile distance, every single person will also have their own personal war story about what went horribly wrong for them along the way to that finish line. Whether it's a 5K, marathon, Ironman, or life itself, something will inevitably go wrong. Accept that fact. There will be obstacles. We can either give up and use them as our easy excuses for why we quit, or we can push through and use them to make us exponentially stronger, physically as well as mentally. Embrace the excuse or choose the challenge. The choice is ours to make. We are the ones who decide how the story ends. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.